Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
Beautiful fall day out there. It's nice and cold, just like, oh.
Teenagers.
I don't know where all this hot weather's coming from, but it's going to end next week, so enjoy it. My sister's sick this morning, so I don't have any help singing this song, so I need some volunteers. Can I get all the teenagers to come up here?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, guys. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's go.
Come on. This is your favorite song. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're not getting out of it. Come on. Spread out. Spread out.
Oh, happy day. You guys got this.
Oh. We're going to open this morning with Oh, Happy Day. Would you stand together with me?
Street. You may be seated. Thank you, youth, for helping us get awake this morning. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see you out.
We're not awake yet.
We could let Paul do a solo on his bass, right? Well, it's great to see you here this morning. I am expecting great things from God, and I hope that you are too this morning. And I'm excited about continuing with the parables from the book of Mark. And if you're not part of a small group, I'd like to encourage you to join one. And there's one that meets here at the church, there's one that's meeting down in South Portage, and there's one that's meeting over and Pawpaw. And the one in Pawpaw is at my house, and we're changing our start time. So those who signed up and those who have been coming, we're going from 2 to 3:30, okay? So we're going early because I want to enjoy the nice weather today. So from 2 to 3:30, and that'll be our regular start time at my house. The one in South Portage starts at 5:30, and then the one here at the church starts at 5 o'clock. So make sure that you find a small group to be part of. Today, immediately following the morning service, the committees are meeting. And if you're part of the maintenance, education, or missions committee, make sure that you're at your meeting. We have to get our budget set for 2018. And so you need to make sure that you're there to participate. We have a church family event on October 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. It's at Harvest Moon Acres. That's in Goebbels. And it's just going to be from 4 to 6. Show up. We're going to go through the corn maze that they have there. They have hayride, bonfire, all sorts of fun things. And so if you just want to come out to that, we'll meet at 4 o'clock. Whoever would like to go through, we'll have a little competition with a little incentive to get through the corn maze complete first, okay? And we'll have some fun. And so families just want to invite you to come out for that. Also, today is the day that the deadline is due for the excursion to the Noah's Ark. So if you're planning on going today, the down payment is due so that the hotel room and tickets can be purchased. Upward basketball is right around the corner. And if you can believe that already, October 8th is when we will begin accepting registrations. And so make sure that you, we're going to have yard signs to put out and everything on October 8th. Also on October 8th, there's a baby shower for Daisy Working Team. And so, ladies, if you can remember that to stick around after church. There's an event on November 11th coming up, and then also Trunk or Treat is coming up. There's a booth out in the lobby if you would like to help with those. And LAC has a crib out in the lobby. LAC is our Ladies Alliance for Christ, and they're helping Alternatives, which is it's a counseling center that helps ladies who get pregnant to help them find options. If they don't want to keep the baby, they try to help them through adoption. And if they do keep the baby but they're scared, they help them with materials. Well, part of what we're going to help do for the next few weeks is help collect those materials, diapers, blankets, onesies, all the kinds of things that new mothers need. And so there's a crib out there. If you would like to help by donating something, you could put something in there. Also, we have some t-shirts left over from our theme for the year. They haven't been out because all the ones that we had were distributed, but we had some more prints that just now got in. And so if you'd like one of our Just Live It t-shirts, they're out in the Welcome Center. You can just grab one. We have a whole bunch of smalls, mediums, larges, and just a couple extra larges. So if your children didn't get one and they'd like one, make sure you pick those up. They're out in the Welcome Center. And then anybody that's interested in membership or just getting to know more about our church, next Sunday morning at 10 a.m., I'm going to begin the class 12 Things About 12th Street. And so if you'd like to participate in that, that will be taking place. And for the rest of the announcements, make sure that you read your bulletin, and let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that as we meet here today, we can sing, Oh Happy Day. And we know that there are other places in this world, in this country even, where there are some that are still recovering from the storms. We pray for those in Texas and Florida, those in the islands that have been so greatly affected, and those on the East Coast, Lord, who are experiencing difficulties as well. We pray that you would help the churches in those areas, your people, to step up and to proclaim Jesus Christ, and where there's places where hope has just been devastated, that hope would be brought in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for those in Mexico that have experienced now two devastating earthquakes, we just pray that you would be with them. And again, Lord, I pray that the people that know Jesus Christ and the organizations and churches that are right there in the heart of the activity there, that they would help people, and then also, Lord, that people would understand that there is a Savior and that there is help in this life and help to help them to have eternal life. And we just pray for all of those that are affected. And Lord, today as we meet, we just ask that your Spirit would meet with us. We ask you, Lord, to teach us something great from your word this morning, something that we could take from here and go and live for you. And so as we sing, as we give, as we fellowship, as we just spend time in understanding your word, we want you to be the great one in our lives. You are the all-powerful, the almighty, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so this morning, we praise you with our lives, and we praise you with our time this morning in this service. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seat this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing Same Power.
I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. That moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength there's nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, in us. The same power that same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, victory. From the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us.
Getting ready, we're going to sing a new song, new to the church, Your Great Name. Now, my sister has been practicing leading this song, and she's sick today, so I had to learn it in a hurry, but we're going to see what we can do.
Lost are saved. Find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, that all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. Sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. All the world will praise your great name. Your great name. Redeemer, my healer, Lord, for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up.
Seated. Would the ushers come forward, please?
Be with the gift and the giver, Lord. I ask that you'll just be with Pastor this morning as he brings forth the word. Lord, may we take it and apply it to our lives, Lord, and be willing to go out and share it with others around us. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you, choir. At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, a reminder to the youth group. Youth group is meeting again 5 to 7 p.m. here at the church on Sunday nights. And so 5 to 6:30 p.m. They changed their times. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And as you are turning to Mark chapter 3, the book of Mark is it's a gospel that was written not to a Jewish audience. Matthew was written to a Jewish audience. Luke was written to a Jewish audience. John was more written to a Jewish audience. Mark was written to a Roman audience. And Mark's idea, as the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, was to portray Jesus in a different way than the way that Matthew and Luke did. In fact, in Mark, the idea is that Jesus will be portrayed as the powerful Savior. And so, as Mark shares the parables that Jesus gave, he only will share 8 of them in the book of Mark, which is a lot less than what Matthew and Luke share. And the reason he does this, he has a specific, the Holy Spirit is designing for us a specific illustration, example, of how we can understand Jesus. So last week in Mark chapter 2, the parable showed that Jesus is the new. You don't sew a new patch into old garments. Now today we have different kind of fibers, and so that makes more sense. Back then it didn't make any sense to sew a new patch into old fibers, because the patch would be stronger than the old garment, and the old garment would tear away, break apart, and the patch wouldn't be able to hold to the old. And then he said that you can't pour new wine into old skins. The new wine would be very gaseous. It would expand. And the old skins had already been expanded as far as they could. And so the new wine being put into the old skins would cause the skins to burst. And what Jesus was telling them is, he's saying, I am the new. The Old Testament, the law, all the things that you love and all the things that you want to follow, I have come and I will break them up, because he was better than, and he fulfilled the law. So now here in chapter 3, we see Jesus shares another parable. And we're going to start reading in verse 22 in chapter 3. I did see, it's been unseasonably warm lately, hasn't it? And I did notice that according to a news story I read this last week, if global warming continues in 20 years, the only chance we'll have to see a polar bear is in the zoo. And I thought, what's any different than it is now? You know, I'm not going to see a polar bear anywhere else. But anyway, I was sitting, though, I was at Walmart, and we were checking out, and I heard this this cashier said to the customer, we haven't had it for a while, and I doubt we'll be getting it soon. And the manager rushed right over, and the manager said, oh, I'm so sorry. Whatever it is that you want, it'll be here next week. And the customer kind of laughed, and the manager looked at the cashier and said, don't ever do that. Never tell a customer that we're out of anything. Always tell them, we'll have it next week. And then the manager looked at her and said, what were you guys talking about? And the cashier said, rain. Here in Mark chapter 3, verse 22, read this with me. It says, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils he cast out devils. And he called them to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wheresoever they be, they shall blaspheme. But he that will blaspheme against the Holy Ghost has no forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Let's pray together. Lord God, I just ask that you would bless your word this morning. Help us to be hearers and doers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is taking place right before Jesus shared this parable? He's been going from the coast. He started in the coast, and then he went down into the southern part of Israel. And now he's worked his way back up the coastline, up to the northern part of Israel. And as he does this, people are flocking to him. Because everywhere he goes, he heals the people who have diseases. And one of the big problems that they had, there were many people who had devils in them. They were possessed by evil spirits. And Jesus would cast that evil spirit out. And that would be the way that they would receive their healing. So as Jesus is traveling and doing this, people are coming to him. And one day it was on the Sabbath, and he saw a man that had a withered hand. And Jesus looked at the man, and he was going to heal him. Then he looked at the crowd, and many people in the crowd are going, oh, is he going to heal him on the Sabbath day? And Jesus tells the man, reach out your hand. And the man's hand was healed. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, the scribes were the lawyers, the religious lawyers of that day. They copied the scriptures and they interpreted the scriptures. The Pharisees were the religious leaders who helped teach other people. And so you have these two groups of people who are in opposition to Jesus. The scribes, who are the doctors of the law, they copy the law. And the Pharisees, who teach the law to others. They're the rabbis of that day. Well, the scribes, they see Jesus as he's healing. And they look at Jesus and they just look to the crowd and they say, he cast out devils in the power of Beelzebub. He uses the power of Satan to cast out these evil spirits. And so Jesus responds with this, with these parables. And what we need to understand is there are two powerful forces at work long before Jesus even shares the parable. The two powerful forces are the power of Satan and Jesus' own power. You know, all of our singing this morning was done to help us to get to thinking about that power that Jesus has. The song, That Great Name, to think about it. You know, it's at the name of Jesus that we're healed. It's at the name of Jesus that we receive forgiveness from sin. It's at the name of Jesus that we receive victory over any of our problems in life. It's a powerful name. And that power of Jesus, he lives inside of those who believe. And so hopefully as we were singing, you started to understand a little bit what's taking place in this passage. Jesus is the all-powerful. But there is another power out there that's working against him. And you have these religious leaders who think that they're speaking against the devil, but really what they're doing is they're speaking against themselves. And they're showing that their power comes from the wrong place. So you have these two powerful spiritual forces at work. And so here's what Jesus does. He just starts out and he simply says, Satan does not overthrow Satan. It's not how it works. And then he says that the only one who comes from God is able to overthrow Satan. Only one who comes from God can overthrow Satan. And then he says that those who deny the power of the one who comes from God have no forgiveness available to them. So if you deny the one who comes from God, the one who can overcome Satan, you deny him, you have no forgiveness available. And he uses two interesting concepts in this passage to help us to understand the ramifications of Satan versus the power of Christ. So the first thing that he shares, and this is the first, this is number one in your bulletin, it says that there is a kingdom. A kingdom is the royalty, the rule, or the realm. So Jesus says there's a kingdom. Now, when we think of kingdom, what do we always think of? We think of a king, a queen, you know. We think of England, you know. We think of people sipping tea, sitting on a throne, maybe. Or we think of people with a crown on their head. You see, a kingdom is so much more than that. A kingdom doesn't even necessarily have to have a king. The kingdom is a realm. There is a rule. And the rule doesn't have to be an individual. A kingdom is, it's a territory, but it's so much more than a territory. A kingdom can be an idea that invades, infects, and influences and controls. And so Jesus, first of all, he talks about a kingdom. And let's look here again at Mark chapter 3. And look with me at verse 24. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If Satan were to cast out Satan, then he would be defeating himself. And Jesus says it doesn't happen. Then he uses another illustration that we're all familiar with, and he uses the illustration of a house. Verse 25, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. A house, it's not just a building, okay? A house is so much more than that. You can have a house that is a building, but he's referencing here a household, a family. He's letting these people know through the kingdom, the idea of the kingdom, and the idea of the house. He's taking a subtle jab at the scribes. He says, your kingdom is the kingdom of Satan's because they could not cast Satan out. And Satan does not cast out Satan. There's no record. In fact, even in the annals of the Talmud and the Jewish folklore and those things, they don't record any of them, the rabbis, casting out demons. It wasn't part of what they did. You know why? They weren't able to. Satan does not cast out Satan. They were part of Satan's kingdom, and they didn't even know it. And then he takes another jab at them when he talks about the house, because he lets them know that they are of the household of Satan. Their kingdom has the same outcome as Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom has an end. Do you believe that? If you don't, then you're going to live a miserable life. His kingdom has an end. And the scribe's kingdom had an end as well, because it was the same kingdom. Turn with me to John chapter 15 to look at this interesting thing that Jesus, a response that he gives about the same group of people. In John chapter 15 and verse 22, he says this, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Jesus said, if I didn't come and talk to the religious elite, the religious leaders, they would have thought, I have no sin. Everything's good with me. But he says, because I came and taught them all of the righteousness that they put on themselves and tried to hide, mask, or cloak their sin, he says, there's no cloak for it. He says, I've revealed all of it. And these parables that Jesus is sharing in Mark, these are the ways that he unmasked or stripped naked their unrighteousness, their sin. Verse 23 in John 15 says, he that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. When Jesus came and did miracles, instead of them looking at that and going, thank you for healing my Aunt Mildred. She needed that. Instead of saying, thank you for healing my nephew, they looked at Jesus and said, oh, man, he does that to the power of devils. Instead of following him and instead of believing him, they found excuse to explain away what he was doing. Oh, he's a magician. It's just a trick. When that guy's arm that was withered up and he said, stretch out your arm, and it stretched out and it was fully functional. When that person that had legs that had never walked, when Jesus said, get up and take your bed and walk, and the guy stood up and jumped up and took up his bed and ran, they said, oh, it's all tricks. Even though they knew the people. Even though they knew that these people were truly sick. And here's what Jesus says. I didn't come and do these miracles and then have them believe. He goes, what happened is I came and I did these miracles and they hated me for it. Doesn't that just seem so backward? When he does these miracles, don't you think that the people would be like, thank you so much, and embrace him, and say, whatever you say, we'll do, we'll follow. Instead of that, they hated him. And then Jesus says, as it is written in their scripture. It's interesting here. The scripture was his, right? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the agent of the Godhead who spoke to the prophets? Jesus, the Word. But Jesus here doesn't call it his scripture. He says their scripture. Because they kept going to the law to find their righteousness. Even though they could not keep the law, they found little bits and pieces in the law that they thought they could keep. They thought that there were ways that they could manipulate other people to look at them and go, wow, that's a really good person. And so they made the law of God, they made the Old Testament scriptures, they twisted it and reformed it and reworded it and explained it away so that everybody looked at them and said, wow, they are awesome. And Jesus is like, this isn't even the scripture of God anymore. This is your scripture. That's why they hated him. We see this in our world today. There are people that take the Word of God and explain it away in so many different ways that basically the Word of God means nothing. There are people that explain away God's Word so much that it holds no more authority and it has no more power. In fact, it's so open to interpretation that really anybody can make it say what anybody wants it to say. It's no different than what the scribes were doing in Jesus' day. And Jesus says, they hate me without a cause. You know, actually what Jesus is doing there, he's quoting Psalm 69 and verse 4. And it says, they hated me without a cause. And Jesus is just applying it to his situation. They hate me without a cause. I do these miracles for them. And what do? They say it's by the power of Satan. Let's go back now to Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3. Let's review real quick. Jesus healed the sick. He cast out the devils. Those who were possessed. If you were possessed by a devil, you were ruined, you were hopeless, and you were in need of a savior. And out of all people that lived in that land during that day, the people who were possessed were the most obvious ones who needed a savior. And without someone to cast out the devil, they would live a lifetime of hurting themselves and others and their families, and basically they were a ruined person. And the scribes could not, did not, and would not heal those people. They didn't have the power to. Reminds me of the man, he lived in the tombs. And he was known as the lunatic of Gennesaret. And they had tried to arrest him. They had tried to chain him. And the spirits that lived inside of him, he had legion, okay? He had many spirits that lived inside of him. And when they tried to chain him, he broke the chains. When they tried to arrest them, he beat them up. And so basically, you have this wild man running around naked, doing whatever he wants to do. And Jesus goes to that place. He meets that man, and he casts the demons out of that man. And when he does so, the man gets dressed, and all the people said, amen. And then he sat there in his right mind and he was clothed. But when Jesus cast the devils out, the devils wanted a place to go, and they said, can we go into the pigs? Well, they shouldn't have been raising pigs anyway. It was against their law. And so Jesus said, yeah, you can go into the pigs. And so the evil spirits went into the pigs, and the pigs all ran off a cliff, killed themselves. And so the people in that land, and they had this guy who was just a terror. They tell Jesus, get out of here and don't come back. He had just performed a miracle. He had done something to set the entire city free from the scourge. And they say, get out of here. This is what Jesus has been dealing with. And they're trying to explain Jesus' power in a way that will make Jesus seem weak. They want to take away his credibility. And so they say he cast out demons through the power of Satan. Do you know what? Jesus' authority was different than their authority. His power was different than theirs. Because he didn't go around and act holy. He went around and made a difference. And so as Jesus shares with them, they were of a kingdom that was the same as the devil that inhabited those people. They were of a house that was the same family as the possessed person. So now look again at verse 26. If Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but he has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Jesus' authority was great because he could bind the strong man. The scribes couldn't, but Jesus could. I want to pause here for a second because I want you to think about in your life, what is the strong man in your life that keeps you from following Jesus? What is the strong man in your life that keeps you from being a faithful servant, a faithful ambassador for Jesus? And we all have that strong man that would love to take up a space in our life. That would love to have a control in our life. That would keep us from being faithful to our Savior. The scribes, the strong man in their life, it was their religion. It was their denial of God's word. It was their desire to do the things they wanted to do and justify them. And we all have a strong man in our life. And you know what it takes to cast out the strong man out of our life? It takes someone stronger. And here's the point of Jesus sharing this parable. Jesus is saying, I am the strong man. I am stronger. I'm sorry, Jesus isn't the strong man. He says, I'm stronger than the strong man. I can bind the strong man. I can spoil the strong man. So if in your life, if it's an addiction, if it's a bad habit, if it's something in you where you crave the wrong kind of things, if you tend to speak the wrong kind of language, I'm not talking about, Chinese, I'm talking, And if in your life you have these goods that are really bad for you, Jesus wants to bind the strong man and spoil your house, spoil your life. By the word spoil there, it means to rob, to take away. He wants to take those things from you. These people should have loved Jesus for what he did. But instead, since he was under their authority, they hated his authority. It's so easy for us when we are spoiled by our strong men, and then we see the light of Jesus and we see what he wants from us, it's easy for us to begin to hate what Jesus wants for us. Sometimes we're no better than they are. Let me give you three quick thoughts here about the way that the scribes were thinking. Living by the wrong law brings an unnatural hatred toward those who are living correctly. When you're living by the wrong law, it will bring an unnatural hatred toward those who are living correctly. I believe that's why the atheist hates the Christian so much. I've talked to many atheists. They hate what I believe. And it's because when you live by the wrong law, even if it's a law to yourself, it will bring an unnatural hatred toward those who are living correctly. Secondly, in this passage, the scribes, they had an unnatural hate delivers illegitimate accusations to cover your own self. When you have an unnatural hatred because of the wrong way that you're living, it will bring in illegitimate accusations to cover your own self. I was talking with somebody and I was trying to explain to them the difference between what I believed and what they believed. Okay, this person, they were agnostic. They didn't believe you could know anything. So I kicked them under the table and I said, "Do you know that I just kicked you?" They're like, "Well, yeah, I felt that." I said, "Well, I know that there's a Lord. I know that there's a God." And I said, I have to have faith to believe it. And they said, "So you believe if I don't have the same faith as you, that I will die and go to hell?" And I said, "Wow, you jumped to that one pretty quick." I said, "Well, that's not what I want to teach, but it's what the Bible teaches, and so that's the truth." And they just looked at me and they said, "Well, you're a bigot." You know what they did? Because of they had an unnatural hatred towards God, is what they really have. But because they were living incorrectly, and they were confronted with the truth, they made an illegitimate accusation against me. And you know what they did when they said that? They only condemned their own self. Because the weakest arguments are when we have to name call. The weakest arguments are when we have to try to discourage or disparage someone else's character when there's no cause, because we're just trying to defend ourselves. And then the third thing with these scribes, illegitimate accusations administrate blasphemous proclamations, and they destroy yourself. Here's what the scribes did. They said, "The power of Jesus comes from Satan." They rejected the true power of Jesus. Because who was the driving force behind Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit working in Jesus, and yes, they're one and the same, and yet they're separate in the way that they work through the Godhead. But they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit by disparaging Jesus. And so, Jesus says there's no forgiveness for this, and he says that you are in danger of eternal damnation. Look at verse 29. "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost doesn't have forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." There's a lot of people in our world today, they don't believe in a place called hell. Whether we believe in it or not, the truth is, the Bible talks about it. Hell's not what someone should fear, though, because someday death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is what you should fear, because the lake of fire is a place that burns with no end, and the Bible says there is eternal punishment there. Here, Jesus, he doesn't use the word hell. He doesn't use the lake of fire. He just says, listen, if you're going to reject the power that's in Jesus, the Holy Ghost, you are in danger of eternal punishment. So the question to us is, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the conqueror of Satan? Do you believe that Jesus is greater than whatever ill you have in your life? Do you believe that Jesus' power is able to free you from whatever your sin will bind you with? Do you live this? Do you live like you have the power of God inside of you? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're of a different kingdom. We're residents of the kingdom of heaven. We're of a different kind of family. We are the family of God, and our Jesus is great. So I want to illustrate this here. All right, I already gave you the parable that Jesus shared, so now I'm going to try to illustrate it with something else. All right, so I've got this fire, albeit a little tiny little fire, right, going right now. And if I want to put this fire out, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to grab my Bic lighter, and I'm going to get it lit, and I'm going to put that fire out, right? That's how you put fire out, right? This is exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying, you don't cast out Satan with Satan. That's foolish. You don't fight fire with fire. Okay? I'm not going to put it out if I do that. So instead, I get water, right? You say, why don't you just blow it out? Because this works for the illustration, all right? So, you get something that's greater. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying someone greater than Satan has to cast out Satan. You have a struggle in your life. You have a power that's been greater than you. You need Jesus because Jesus is greater than the power that's greater than you. And here's what happens. Amazing, right? The water puts the fire out. Now, let's say I were to fill this up. So I fill up this cup here. And I say, all right, I'm going to start a fire inside this cup. Is that going to work? Well, why do you take your word for it? Let's try it. Is that going to work? Probably just ruined my lighter. I can't light this water on fire. Let me tell you something. You have Jesus Christ living in you. The power of Satan cannot live inside of you. You say, well, I don't ever want to get possessed by a devil. You won't be if you're possessed by Jesus. Because the power of the devil cannot overcome the power of Jesus. And so you have Jesus living inside of you. Why in the world do you let Satan's powers, the world's powers, sin's powers, why do you give them any place in your life? You've got Jesus in you. Listen, Satan wants to destroy. That's what he does. I think I ruined this candle too. No, I didn't. All right. And Satan would love, if he could, to destroy your life. And this parable here, and it's the same thought that we need to carry with ourselves as we go through this week, is that Jesus' power is greater than the power of the devil. And so when you're going through struggles in your life, and when you feel like you're failing your Lord, you feel like you're not able to live according to the scripture, here's what I want you to remember. Jesus takes up residence in the life of the believer. The water that's on here is still destroying. Because I was going to just take it and I was just going to dump it in here. And I say, you know what? That's what we need to do. You need to dump your struggles into the power of Jesus. You need to confess your sin. If we hide our sins, Proverbs says, we will not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And that mercy is Jesus Christ. Stronger in your life than anything else. The purpose of this parable this morning is to let you know that the power of Jesus is greater than all other power. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Jesus, that your power is greater than any power that we're struggling with. And Lord, if there's anybody here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that this morning they would realize that they need you in their life. Right now, they're part of a kingdom. They might not even know it, but that kingdom is not yours. They're part of a family, and that family, it's not yours. And I pray that this morning that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, I pray for the Christian this morning. I just ask you, Lord, to do a wonderful work in our hearts and lives, that we would understand that your power is greater than all other power. Lord, the struggles that people are going through in this room, they're very real. God, you want to give them victory. You want to help them. So I pray that this morning that selfishness would be cast aside. I pray, Lord, that our own failures would not be what we cling to, but we would look to our Savior, who's greater than all powers. And that, Lord Jesus, this morning you would give freedom, that you would give victory. Bless this closing time now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be standing at the front here as we sing this closing song. I'd love to talk to you about trusting Christ as your Savior. And if you're here and you know that you're a Christian, but you haven't been living for Him, other power has been greater in your life than the power of Jesus. This morning, Jesus wants to assure you that He will give you the victory, that He will give you the strength. So let's stand together as we sing this in this time of closing.
Save it.
pray together. Lord God, we desire to go from here and live in victory with the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, from the same power that commands the dead to raise, that, Lord, you live in us. And I thank you that we can honestly and truly say, from sin and from sin's power because of Jesus Christ, we are free. So God, help us to go from here energized, ready to take on this world, knowing that he who is for us is greater than he that is against us. So Lord, to you be all the power and glory and praise, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.